So I can't say that I've ever truly, truly suffered physically. I have had a few scrapes and scratches in my ears, one of which that comes to mind was right across the sensitive surface of my eyeball. It was excruciating, but it passed in a few days. Beyond that, I can hardly think of a time when I faced any intense pain. Most of the suffering I've endured has been emotional, actually. I guess you could say relational or familial. The death of a close friend in college was super intense. You know, I call that grieving that followed suffering. It was pretty bad. Even then, though, I don't think it approached the kind of pain and toil that the early Christians faced. Their world was one of unthinkable suffering. That's true of the group that we're going to look at in today's Bible study. So, we're going to explore what Jesus had to say to the church in Smyrna. Hello and welcome to Free Grace Bible Study. I'm Lucas Kitchen.
And I'm Krista Kitchen.
So let's talk about what we're going to cover in today's lesson. Could you read that for us?
In today's lesson, we're talking about what Jesus told the church in Smyrna, a place that was going through a really tough time. Jesus, who went through suffering himself, tells them he gets what they're going through. He sees their struggles. He reminds them they're rich in ways that really matter. We'll look at why Jesus praised them, how he encouraged them to keep going, and what the promise of the crown of life means for sticking it out through hard times.
Now, one of the things that we want to cover before we get to that is how to get access to a written version of this Bible study so that someone can go through it with a group if they want to. So how can they access that?
You can go to the page for this podcast on our website. You can get to that page by going to freegrace.in/rev2b.
Our passage for today's Bible study is Revelation 2, verse 8 through 11. It talks about the church at Smyrna. Why don't you read that for us?
And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These things says the first and the last who is dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death."
Okay, well, let's jump into our Bible study. Can you reread verse 8 so that we have that in our minds as we talk about it?
Verse 8 says, "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life."
So Jesus had suffered in a tremendous way while he was on earth. I mean, can you even imagine what he went through? He had firsthand knowledge of everything, all kinds of pain and tribulation that we could face. And he still retains that firsthand knowledge. He remembers it. He knows about it. So in the following verses, he'll address Smyrna's suffering. But before he does, he wants to remind them that he understands their plight. He reminds them that he is the one who was dead and came back to life. This would certainly call to mind those terrible things he faced before being crucified.
Verse 9 says, "I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan."
So Smyrna was one of those grand cities of the ancient world. I would have loved to have seen it. So while John was writing, it was a flourishing port city on the Aegean Sea, not too far from where he is on the island of Patmos, which is why Jesus acknowledged their reputation as being rich. That's kind of the reputation of Smyrna. So this gives his spiritual critique a surprise twist as he points out that along with their good works, that they have a high level of poverty. Now, that might have been very literally true of the believers in Smyrna. So I'm convinced there's a kind of double meaning in what Jesus is saying here about the contrast to being rich and having poverty. So the current state of affairs might have been that they were living in poverty, maybe because of the tribulation they faced. And they had an opportunity, though, to have true riches in Christ. So there's kind of an ironic contrast there. So he's going to talk about that a little bit later in verse 10. So the poverty Jesus mentions was very literally true of the Smyrna believers, as far as we know, since they had faced such tribulation from this really scary sounding group. He gives us clues as to what type of tribulation the believers there had faced in the following line. It says blasphemy. It talks about that. So blasphemy is speech that's designed to slander, defame, damage, abuse, any of that. And we often think of blasphemy as words that are spoken against God. Like if you're to blaspheme, that's what people are going to kind of as default think of. But in this case, it seems like the infraction is not against God only, but against believers in Smyrna. And so their reputations had been damaged. Maybe their ability to make a living had been damaged. Maybe that's why he's talking about them having poverty. So I think that's why Jesus says, I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not. So Smyrna had a really large Jewish population at this time. I mean, there must have been a sizable group of them who had taken upon themselves to persecute and bring, as he calls it, tribulation to the believers. So this is why Jesus called them a synagogue of Satan. I feel like we should have some dark, heavy music when we hear that term. It's kind of scary. So note that John is not questioning their ethnic Jewishness, the synagogue of Satan, but instead their spiritual claim, their covenant with God, so to speak. You know, Paul talked about this concept in another place. He said, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in a letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God." That comes from Romans 2, 28 and 29. So the implication's profound. What he's doing here is he's not saying that they're not ethnically Jews. He's saying that to be truly Jewish would be to not oppose God's plan of the church. So ethnic Jews who oppose God's church and reject Jesus as the Messiah have departed from the true religion of Judaism. Seems like that's what he's getting at when he says they're the synagogue of Satan. So we can surmise that this group with Jewish heritage was actively pursuing believers in Smyrna since they were facing tribulation, but also since they had come into such poverty, as far as we can tell.
Verse 10 says, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life."
Yeah, so instead of telling them that the troubles are about to be over, which is probably what they wanted to hear, Jesus is actually preparing them for more trouble. He's telling them not to fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. So just at the moment when they were hoping to get some relief, Jesus is saying, buckle up, buddy. You're about to experience more. But he says that they should not fear it. You know, often we pray, I know that I do this, we pray for relief from trouble, right? And the answer to those prayers may not be an exit, but a reminder to not fear in the midst of that kind of pain. So Jesus gives them some specifics on the kind of trouble they're about to face, what they can expect. He says the devil, this probably means members of the synagogue of Satan, which he talked about in the last verse, verse 9, is about to throw some of you into prison. So it'd be easy to see such a circumstance as a purposeless outcome, but there is a reason. Have you ever had a purposeless outcome? Well, if God is truly in charge, I guess you really haven't. And so he's encouraging them to see this as part of God's plan. So what's the plan? Well, he says they are going to be put in jail to be tested. Well, that's tough. This reminds us of Job, whom God allowed to be tested to the limit. However, the testing isn't going to be indefinite, which is a good thing. The tribulation would last 10 days. Now, numbers sometimes seem to symbolize different concepts in Revelation, and we don't always know exactly how to take them, whether literal or not. The 10 days may be literal, or they may be figurative. I tend to think they're literal here, and that they represent a painful but limited amount of time. So earlier, Jesus referenced the believers' poverty at this church. And now he acknowledges that they have an opportunity for true riches in the kingdom. Christ will give them the crown of life. Now, the crown of life is also mentioned in James 1:12. And there, just like here, it is associated with perseverance under trial. You're going to go through a hard thing, but you persevere. You persevere till the end of your life, you get the crown of life. Now, I've heard some Bible teachers that think that these crowns are intangible, that they're not literal crowns, that they just represent something. Well, they may be right. I'm not sure. They might be right. But I tend to think that these are actual tangible crowns, something that we will actually have. I mean, I just think if Jesus says he's going to give crowns, and he's going to give crowns. It's just how I think of it. So those who persevere until death will get the crown. They will get the crown of life, and that crown is waiting for them in heaven. They'll receive it, as far as we know, they'll receive it at the judgment seat of Christ. So it's valuable to know a little bit about the word crown in the New Testament, because we have one English word, but the English gets translated from actually two different Greek words, and they mean two different things. One, which is diadema, is mainly associated with the crown a king would wear to show that he is in charge, to show that he's the ruler. The other word that is often translated as crown is stephanos, and that's more like the laurel or a ringlet. It could be of gold, sometimes it'd be even of greenery, you know, leaves and foliage and stuff. And that would be like the crown that an athlete might receive for winning a sporting event. You can think of like an Olympian. So in the Christian life is a race, and a crown is waiting for those who run it well.
Verse 11 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death."
So once again, Jesus reminds the reader that this encouragement is not just for those in Smyrna, because it's for anybody that has an ear. So if you got an ear hanging off the side of your head, actually, even if you don't, if you just have a hole in there that you can hear, if you could just understand what he's saying, I think, then you should pay attention. And that's because this is a lesson not just for those believers there, but for anybody who can understand what's being said. Now, he adds a unique line in this one, which isn't found in the previous or the following refrain. He offers further comfort to the one who overcomes. Now, specifically, that overcomer is the one who wins, the one who finishes well. And as he said in this section, the one who perseveres until death. And so this is for the successful Christian. Now, we've talked about that in previous episodes. You can go back and listen to that and read that. But basically the idea here is that this is a Nike Christian. This is a Christian who fights for victory. It's not a Christian who just gets lazy and is just passive. He or she is one who continues to work at the Christian life until they're dead. So that is a specific group. So the one who overcomes is the one who shall not be hurt by the second death. Now, the second death is mentioned later in the book, and there John says, "Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death." That's Revelation 20:14. Now, there's a bit of a reversal here. So some have mistakenly thought that since Jesus is saying that the overcomer will not be hurt by the second death, that that must mean the opposite is true, that the second death will hurt Christians who don't persevere until death. Basically, some people think that you can lose your salvation if you don't persevere. I mean, I don't know if you've heard this. I've heard this a lot, where people will say that if you don't persevere in good works until the end of your life, then it proves you were never saved in the first place, or it proves that you lost your salvation, or something like that. But that just doesn't work with what's actually in Scripture. It's not what Jesus is getting at here, and it doesn't fit with the overarching story and narrative of Scripture and how salvation works. So, remember this, the believers in Smyrna were suffering. They were going through tribulation. And here's why I think he is talking about not being hurt by the second death. They are facing deep hurts. And Jesus wanted to remind them that they had already escaped the greatest hurt. They had already escaped it because they are eternally saved. The greatest hurt was going to be the second death. The greatest hurt probably in all of human history, cosmic history, whatever. They've escaped it. And I think he's reminding them of that so that in remembering that they are not going to be hurt by the second death, they could cling to that hope, that assurance of their escape of that terrible hurt on that terrible day, and that they would be able to, because of that, endure, persevere, and overcome. So now we have some discussion questions that are going to be read by my wife, Krista. If you are leading a group or you're going through this with a church or a Bible study group, then you can pause between each question to give you an opportunity to discuss. So let's jump into that first question. Here it is.
Starting with what Jesus says in verse 8, how can remembering Jesus' own struggles and victory over death give us strength when we're dealing with tough situations? Moving on to verse 9, Jesus talks about being rich in him despite not having a lot of material wealth. What do you think it truly means to be rich in Christ? Still in verse 9, Jesus addresses how harmful words can be, especially from those who pretend to be something they're not. How do harmful words affect us, and why do you think Jesus highlights this issue? In verse 10, Jesus advises not to fear suffering. How can we find the courage to face our fears, especially when things look bleak? Also from verse 10, let's chat about the idea of being tested. Can anyone share a personal experience where you felt your faith was being tested? Thinking about the latter part of verse 10, Jesus talks about staying faithful even to the point of death. How can we show our faithfulness in our daily lives? Let's reflect on the crown of life mentioned by Jesus in the same verse. How does the promise of this reward make you feel? Now, looking at verse 11, why do you think it's important for us to pay attention to what Jesus says to all the churches and not just the message to Smyrna? Considering what's said in verse 11, what does being an overcomer mean to you? How can we overcome the challenges we face? Lastly, thinking a bit about what's in verse 11, how does the assurance that the second death won't harm us change the way we view our current problems?
Well, that concludes our discussion segment. Hopefully you uncovered some great ideas as you talked about it. I want to remind you of one last thing before we go.
Take a look at our website, where you can find all of the content of this podcast in written form. We want to give you tools to help your friends, family, small group, or church to grow. You can find that and more at our website, which is freegrace.in. You can subscribe to the website to get updates and future releases.
Thank you for listening. We'll be back with you sometime soon.